Hey, everybody, what is going on? Welcome to the Pick 6, to Draft Live, whatever you want to call it. I don't think we ever actually figured it out. On Roto Grinders, I'm Eric Cranon. I'm joined by Best Ball. That's what we're calling it. You know, I don't have my earphones in, so David, they all heard you through my microphone. So congrats on that. Anyways, Eric Cranon here, joined by Mike Thiers, and we're going to have Evan Silva coming on shortly. Mike Thiers, though, what's going on?
Not much. I'm excited to talk some football. I'm excited football started, you know, and we're actually watching games and unfortunately some injuries or whatever, but it's fun to be here.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I know you and I have both been doing a lot of best ball drafts, which is the name of the show in case you're wondering. And it's been a lot of fun. Like every time I see a preseason game on, I say, okay, now we're even closer. We're closer to some football, some real football. Are you watching a lot of the preseason games?
You know, I haven't been, I haven't had them on the TV a whole lot. I'm following along the box scores and everything, just trying to keep tabs on a bunch of players. But, I got 3 kids at home, so I just haven't had the time yet. I haven't been able to claim, 3-4 hours on Sundays as, daddy's TV time yet.
No, I understand. That's when I don't know. I don't have kids, but I assume that elbowing in the head to get out of the way that's not allowed.
Well, no, I mean, it is, but not until the regular season.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. Well, let's go ahead and get started on our first topic because there's been a lot to happen in the NFL since the last time we had one of these shows. Rich Rebar, by the way, he's traveling tonight. That's why we have beers, water with us. All right. Let's talk about the Jaguars quarterback situation. And Blake Bortles is who we thought he was. He's, boy, he's been bad. And the Jaguars, now it looks like they might go with Chad Henne. Bortles has been terrible in the preseason. And I don't like to put a lot of stock in preseason, but it's tough to ignore just how bad he's been. What are we doing with the Jaguars quarterback situation right now?
Well, I think we're just avoiding it in terms of fantasy. I mean, you're not going to pick a winner out of Bortles and Henne. Even if you end up with the one who starts. And the thing that I think is a more difficult question than, whether you're going to buy either one of those guys, I think the answer is definitely no at this point, is how does this affect, the other guys on the team, right? Allen Robinson, can he produce in spite of this quarterback play? Fournette, what's it going to do for him? I'm getting pretty worried about the entire offense. I've heard, maybe 3 years in a row now that the defense is going to be a lot better and Jacksonville is actually going to become a better team. I'll believe it when I see it, I guess. I mean, without a good quarterback, I mean, they don't even have a solid sort of like game manager type quarterback, right? I mean, you can win with that kind of quarterback. They have bad quarterbacks. I'm getting real concerned, particularly for Allen Robinson. And I think it's going to be a problem for Fournette. He's just not going to have a lot of opportunities to score.
Yeah, to me, I mean, I'm looking at this team and I say, what's going to stop every defense from stacking 8 in the box and saying, go ahead, yep. Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, Allen Hurns, if you guys want to beat us with Chad Henne or Blake Bortles throwing you the ball, way to go, best of luck. But I was pretty high on Fournette, a month ago, I guess, and now I've really had to taper my expectation because it just doesn't seem like it's something that can work.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to need a lot of carries, I think, and I'm not sure there are going to be a lot of carries for him unless they're going to run out the clock on their own losses. Allen Robinson, he's going to get open either way, but they can dare the quarterbacks to hit him, and they're not going to. It appears.
Yeah.
So I think you just got to downgrade the entire offense. I was drafting Allen Robinson. I liked his value. He'd fall into like the end of the third round, in these best ball leagues, and I think I'm off him now.
Yeah, I don't really see a way you can draft him and feel good about it. I mean, maybe if he fall, like, how far would he have to fall before you would say, okay, now I can take Allen Robinson? It's a while, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, players typically, at the beginning of the draft, falling 2 rounds would be pretty big. But, in the 5th round, I'd grab him. I mean, he's talented enough. He's going to turn in a few big games. He's just not reliable at this point, and you have to have somebody who can – he can get open. If he doesn't have somebody who can hit him, it's not going to do anything for your fantasy team.
Yeah, and that's kind of my issue too. I'm trying to like think, like all of a sudden Fournette, he was the guy going, he was the first rookie running back off the board. You know, he was going before Dalvin Cook, who's just everybody's favorite player. And he was going before, oh, the Bengals kid. Why am I forgetting the Bengals kid? I'm drawing a blank. Joe Mixon. Yeah, sorry. That was really weird. I couldn't think of his name. Like, is he falling behind both those guys for you now?
I'm not sure that he's – no, I don't think he's fallen that far. I mean, you know, I haven't really jumped on the Dalvin Cook train. You know, I his preseason is definitely encouraging, and I'm moving him on my board a bit. But, you know, he was going in, the sixth round for a while, and, you know, he's moving up several rounds. But I don't think – with they have a more crowded backfield in Minnesota, and I just don't think that you know, he moves that far ahead. I mean, Fournette's like the only option, right? In terms of the Jags, if they can't throw the ball, I mean, he's just going to get fed, and I think he gets fed enough to keep him ahead of those two guys, especially with you know, with Mixon, with Jeremy Hill still just hanging around. I think he probably has more upside, might have the most upside of the three, but I'm not going to spend a second round pick on him like we were doing with Fournette, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, another guy in football who's kind of fallen down a little bit, and he's going down draft board, that's Sammy Watkins. Obviously, there's a shocking trade, him going to the Rams for I forget who it was for, but it wasn't for anybody that the fantasy community is too concerned. I'm really out of it tonight. I'm sorry. Everybody in the chat's talking about how they're sweating something, and I'm only sweating like all the money I'm losing. So anyways, we got Sammy Watkins to the Rams. We got Jared Goff trying to throw him the ball. All of a sudden, he goes from a situation in Buffalo, or at least Tyrod was going to feed him, to we don't know what to expect from this guy now. Where are we taking Sammy Watkins?
Sammy, so I liked Sammy a lot in, he was around Allen Robinson, you know, sort of the end of the third round. I was buying him a lot there when he was on the Bills. Now I think I got to push him back. I don't think he falls that far. He definitely falls, you know, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, I would take him fourth or fifth round. You know, sort of the end of the fourth, early fifth, because he's still, I mean, Kenny Britt last year was on that same team, and he did great. And Sammy Watkins, we know, is an extremely talented wide receiver. You know, there are a lot of concerns with the Rams, you know, in terms of how much are they even going to throw the ball. They were toward the bottom of the league last year. They have new coaching regime now, so I think that's going to come up. But, you know, and how good is Goff, right? I mean, it's hard to look at it. I mean, he could take a step forward, and it could, you know, they could have a functioning pass offense this year, but
that would be a step forward by any other year, by the way.
Yeah, no, so there's potential for him to succeed there, and I don't think his floor is terrible. He's going to be the number one option. And, you know, they have to throw the ball to somebody. I mean, I know Woods is there and Tavon Austin's still there, but you know, he's still going to put up some points. He's going to score some touchdowns. You know, I'm not just knocking him off my board.
What do you think this does for the value of Todd Gurley? Because to me, I kind of see it as, okay, with Tavon there, now he's not going to be a big part of this offense, I don't think. But with Sammy there, it feels like it stretches the offense at least a little bit, which means that defenses, they might not be able to stack the box against Goff and Gurley. Do you think that this improves Gurley?
I do, actually. You know, I would he and Fournette had around the same ADP for a while. You know, I'm definitely put Gurley ahead of Fournette given the developments of the past few weeks at this point. And, yeah, it should open things up. I mean, just like you said about Fournette, if he's the only option, Gurley was kind of the only option in that Rams offense, you know, they're going to key in on him. And you can't ignore Sammy. I mean, even if you don't have a great quarterback throwing him the ball, you can't just ignore him. He'll turn in those big plays. So it's going to open things up for Gurley. And you know, I'm not going to, you know, he doesn't jump a tier or anything like that for me. You know, I'm still going to put him behind the guys like Ajayi and Devonta Freeman, Jordan Howard, but he's getting closer to that kind of range.
So now what do we do with the rest of the Rams wide receivers? Any interest in Woods or Tavon Austin? I don't really have any, but do you?
No, you know, it was a real bummer for Woods. I was buying a lot of him. He was sort of in the 13th, 14th round for a while in the best ball drafts. And as sort of de facto wide receiver one on his team, he was cheap for the amount of volume he was going to get, mm-hmm. you know. But now I can't buy him. You know, it's just – I don't know how much they're going to throw the ball in that offense. Like I said, I think they're going to throw more than last year, but I don't know for sure. And he's just in Sammy's shadow again. You know, he got followed by the same guy. And he didn't do all that much in Buffalo. You know, even when Sammy went down, I was looking at his production over the past 2 years. He only broke 10 fantasy points half a dozen times over two seasons. And it's just, you know, he's not going to make those big splash plays for you. He's not that kind of wide receiver. So I don't think he's worth more than sort of a late flyer. Maybe you hope that Sammy gets injured again and you get your 13th, 14th round value that we were buying earlier in the year.
Even if he does get injured, though, like I don't really see a path to where Woods is one of those guys where you're just like, okay, I have to have this guy. You know, he's just going off. He's just not that kind of player. So I'm not drafting him at all. I just don't see him as a guy who's going to be a game changer for me.
I agree. You know, I think his upside is like being a guy who can fill your flex position, you know, on a semi-regular basis. I mean, he's not going to be a league winner, even if things play out, you know, almost perfectly.
All right. Is there any other like effect that this trade has on the Rams or kind of what you're doing with that offense that we haven't talked about?
Not for the Rams really. I mean, it definitely affects the Bills. You know, I think that's where we're going next, but, you know, for the Rams, one guy, he's having a great preseason, Cooper Kupp on the Rams. It is certainly doesn't help his prospects in terms of producing this year. You know, I think he's gained some value in terms of, you know, dynasty leagues or whatever, but, given that Sammy's now there, they already had Woods, and we mentioned Austin, it's just too crowded. I'm not drafting him at all at this point. Yeah. I might have thrown, you know, an 18th round pick at him a couple of times, you know, earlier in the summer, but I'm not going to do that anymore. And Goff, you know, Goff's the other guy. We haven't mentioned him. Yeah, it's definitely an upgrade for him, but he's not a guy I was buying to begin with, and he's not a guy I'm going to buy now. You know, maybe as the third quarterback on a best ball team, you know, if he falls, 15th, 16th round, something like that.
If he's in the last round or something, then you can play with the idea.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's a starter. You know, if you got a problem with bye weeks or something, or you got an injury risk kind of guy, you know, you throw him on there. But I'm not really moving him up my ranks.
All right. Yeah. Guys, anytime that you can not draft a Rams player, you're just going to be happier for it. That's my advice. Like taking Gurley, taking Watkins. Yeah, you can do it. Gurley, I do like a little bit this year, but I'm just off Watkins. Somebody's going to take him before I'm willing to. So I'm off them. And the team he came from, the Buffalo Bills, what the hell is happening with this team? Because they went from, oh, we're bad to, oh, we're tanking to now they're talking about getting rid of Tyrod and Shady McCoy. They just got rid of Sammy Watkins. I mean, all of a sudden, this Bills team just looks, atrocious.
Yeah, it's a complete disaster. I mean, I just laughed when I saw that Bolden decided to retire. I mean, he looked around. He said, football is a violent game. He doesn't want to do that for a full year for that team. You got to downgrade everybody on that team, I think. You know, especially Tyrod. I mean, you know, he got Jordan Matthews, you know, a functional wide receiver, but he immediately got injured. Bolden walks away. You know, then we're just looking at Zay and as his other option. And I mean, he doesn't have anybody to throw to. You know, he's not terribly expensive in fantasy drafts, so it's hard to say, like, you know, never touch him. But I, you know, he's certainly not a guy I'm going to target, whereas I might have before. I might have been happy to have him on my roster. The thing that really scares me is Shady. You know,
yeah, that's my biggest fear too, because I have a lot of Shady shares and I was really high on him. And now we don't even know where he's going to be playing in a couple weeks.
Right. Yeah. And it's like he felt like one of the safest investments. You know, it was the only thing standing in his way was potential injury. And, you know, that's a real risk, but it is for all the running backs in the first few rounds or any round. And now, I mean, if their passing game isn't even a threat, I mean, you're getting back. We're going back to the same thing we were talking about with Fournette and Gurley. You know, I think their O-line and McCoy himself are better than, you know, the situation on those two teams. But, it, you know, if the defense can just key in on them, even if he is still on the Bills, it's going to be a real problem. It's going to make his life a lot harder. And, you know, I think he can still bang out, you know, maybe a low, you know, RB1 season just on volume alone if he can stay healthy. But, you know, it's a lot less exciting and, you know, and enticing a first round pick at this point. I think you got to kind of move him back.
Yeah. So where do we move him back? Like, where does he fall to? Is he behind, you know, like the Julio Jones? Is he behind like a Melvin Gordon or a Devontae Freeman? Does he fall behind those guys? Is it that far?
So I already had him behind Julio. Okay. So I got like the big three wide receivers, Julio, Beckham. Beckham's probably a guy we should talk about too, given what happened the other night. But Antonio Brown. So I, you know, it's kind of the DJ and Le'Veon are my top two. And then I got those three receivers, and then it gets a little more murky. And I think that's where he starts to slide a little bit. I think I had Melvin Gordon and Shady about even, you know, it was almost a like coin flip for me at that point. And I got to move Gordon ahead of him at this point, like without question. And I think I'm probably going to start taking wide receivers over McCoy after Gordon, a guy like Mike Evans, AJ Green. I'll probably, you know, depending on what happens, I think I'm on hold with McCoy for the next couple of weeks. You know, we'll see what happens with, you know, any potential trade, you know, if the offense continues to crumble. You know, I'll take wide receivers. I might take a guy like Devonta ahead of him and just let somebody else draft him.
Speaking of, you know, guys that are all of a sudden moving up our draft boards, Evan Silva, you're here with us. What's up, Evan?
Eric Crane, it's good to be back with you. Mike Beers, longtime admirer. Thank you for welcoming me on the show.
It's good to have you. So we've already got through about half our topics. We're talking about what's going on with the Buffalo Bills and what a disaster that team is. How does what the Bills have been doing affect like a lot of these fantasy options for you?
It's frightening because the way that the Bills have built their passing offense has been catered to Nathan Peterman, who is their fifth round pick, and they believe in him greatly. However, the offense is no longer built to the strengths of Tyrod Taylor, who's a downfield passer. I mean, Tyrod Taylor has a lot of weaknesses as a passer, and that's why NFL teams are unwilling to commit to Tyrod Taylor. He's not a precise thrower in the short and intermediate, but he is a playmaker with his running, and he can throw the deep ball very well. And that's why he and Sammy Watkins clicked so well, and why you saw the Bills last year surround him with guys who could create separation deep in Sammy Watkins and Marquise Goodwin. But guess what? Both those guys are gone, and the Bills have created their pass catcher core into a situation where they had, at one point, they had three slot receivers, Jordan Matthews, Zay Jones, and Anquan Boldin. Anquan Boldin bowed out, you know, love Anquan Boldin, understood, you know, why you would move on from a situation like this. Zay Jones is now going to be asked to play outside after playing 70% of his snaps inside at East Carolina, you know, I think it's called the American Athletic Conference, where Zay Jones played. It's just, you know, the situation is not built for the present. It is built for the future. And I think we are going to see Nathan Peterman sooner rather than later.
Okay. So boy, this Bills thing is just a disaster.
It is a disaster. I mean, we love LeSean McCoy. Like Beers was just talking about, hey man, whenever I had a top 7 or 8 pick in an MFL 10 or an MFL 25 or an MFL 50 or an MFL 100, I was like loving taking LeSean McCoy, but that was then. And now we have a lot more new information, and LeSean McCoy is a terrifying pick pretty much anywhere in the first round.
Yeah, and that's my biggest issue with him, where I keep staring at him in these drafts. And before I was saying, yes, I love getting Shady. I love him. I was taking him as early as, I think, 5th or 6th overall. I really liked Shady a lot. And now it's just like, oh, I just can't do it. I can't do it. And that's my issue, Beer. I'm like, I keep looking at that name and I can't do it. So like you said, you're moving up. Mike Evans ahead of him. You're moving up. Who's the guy? I don't know. I guess I'm trying to say, like, who is Shady still above for you? As weird as that is to say.
Oh man, it's hard.
So there are two tiers of wide receiver ones. Okay, the first tier is Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham. Okay, the second tier of wide receiver ones is Jordy, Mike Evans, Michael Thomas. I think belongs in there. I think this is the conundrum. Would you take LeSean McCoy or Michael Thomas?
I'd probably still take McCoy, but I also am probably a sucker for the guy.
Yeah, I think at this point, it's easier to say this now because I've been buying McCoy all summer. I'll go with Thomas. I mean, you know, in the first round or early second round or wherever we're talking about, you want to know what you're getting. You know, like there's too many question marks with McCoy right now. You know, about the state of the team. You know, the thing that makes these guys in the first rounders is, you know, the kind of their floor, their situation is stable. You know, we're paying a lot for production. We know we're going to get basically. And, I don't know that I'm going to get it with McCoy anymore. I thought I did a couple weeks ago, but, I think you got to let him slide to the second round probably.
Evan, do you think Shady starts a season on the Bills?
I would say 20% chance gets moved to another team, but 80% chance stays on the Bills. For DFS purposes, are people going to be off him against the Jets? You're going to be in week one. That's who they play in week one, by the way. And the Jets are not going to have the ball in that game because they don't have an offense. So the other team is going to have the ball in that game. And that is going to set up Shady for a monster game. So I'm looking at Shady McCoy absolutely for DFS in week one. And I think that just facing the Jets run defense, which people have a lot of respect for and understand why, people are gonna shy away from Shady for the matchup reasons and for the team situation reasons. And I remember this late last season, people had a similar outlook on Carlos Hyde. I think it was week 15, and nobody used Carlos Hyde that week, and he just completely shredded. And I think that it's going to be a similar situation. But with that said, from a season-long perspective and from a best ball perspective where you have no ability to make in-season moves, LeSean McCoy remains a terrifying pick. But for week one, DFS, I mean – I'm going to be all over Shady for sure. And Todd Gurley, by the way, who plays the Colts in week one.
Yeah, I'm going to be all Gurley against the Colts. He's already circled for me. I guess my worry about Shady week one, and this, you know, I guess this kind of goes back to what you're saying, where people are going to be afraid to play him. If they're going to deal him, wouldn't they be afraid of him getting hurt and then just killing his value? Or does he even have that much value on the trade market because he's of his age?
Let's talk about how much value he has in a real life NFL trade market. Because he has Devonta Freeman passed him recently, but he is the second most expensive long-term contract among NFL running backs. He's still great, but he has been hurt a lot recently. He has not missed a lot of games recently, but he's been hurt a lot recently. You know, and he plays running back. So what really is his real-life NFL trade value? Like a second-round pick? I think a lot of teams would even balk at paying that for LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really heartbroken, and I have my highest stakes draft tomorrow, so I have no idea what I'm doing yet. It's very troubling, and I wish the draft was in 2 weeks rather than in, you know, 24 hours.
Where are you picking, Crane? Where are you picking in that draft?
It's auction, so it's even.
Oh,
that's fun though.
It's gonna be
a lot of fun. Just be very aggressive, man. Just go get those studs.
I'm going to. It's
not shady.
It's a 10K league, so yeah. It's going to be a good time, but I'm ready. All right, let's talk about some rookie running backs. Beers, you and I touched on rookie running backs before. We were talking about Dalvin Cook. We were talking about Joe Mixon, whose name I can now remember, Leonard Fournette. Even D'Angelo Henderson has looked pretty good for the Broncos. Who's the rookie running back you're most looking forward to picking up this year, Beers?
I think – given their prices, I mean, he's moving up, but I'm probably most excited to own Dalvin Cook, or to buy Dalvin Cook rather. I think if I could just have any one of them on my team, it might be in a PPR league. McCaffrey, he's looked really good in the preseason. You have to pay so much to get him now. I mean, especially after these preseason games, I'm not going to spend a second round or early third round pick on McCaffrey. I just don't think there's enough opportunity there. Like, the way I think of him is, like, I think he's both very good and overvalued. I think he could have a great year and not return the value that, the price that people are paying for him. But Cook, he hasn't gotten to that point yet. He's shown very well in the preseason. I think he is not going to have trouble taking that job. Or he has it already, and he's going to hold it. And I think they're going to design that offense for him, the in terms of the blocking scheme, moving to zone blocking there. I think he's set up to succeed. And at this point, he's not, he's cheaper than Mixon. He's cheaper than McCaffrey. He's cheaper than Fournette. And I think he's got just as much upside.
What about you, Evan? What rookie running backs are you looking toward?
The second preseason game for Kareem Hunt, I think, was very, very promising. I mean, they used him. Essentially, what they did is they created a mini game for Kareem Hunt, and they used him as a feature back in that game, and they featured him in the passing game, which is something that they refused to do with Spencer Ware last year, even though he was very efficient in the passing game. If you just look at him from a yards per target, yards per reception, yards per opportunity, standpoint. They did not want to use Spencer Ware in the passing game, but they came out using Kareem Hunt in the passing game. If you go back and look at all the Andy Reid running backs historically, Ryan Westbrook, LeSean McCoy, even like Jamal Charles, of course, but even lesser guys like Ryan Moats and Deuce Staley, they always wanted running backs that could catch passes. And that's very much within Kareem Hunt's – that's one of Kareem Hunt's strengths. So Kareem Hunt stands out to me. Later in drafts, Chris Carson, I think, is very interesting because he has looked like the best running back on the Seahawks roster. Eddie Lacy is – I think he's washed up. I mean, he doesn't train like other NFL players. He trains on a weight loss program that you or I would use. Are you feeling the train? Are you feeling the train? Yes.
I'm getting you. I'm wanting to pump some iron though soon. I feel good.
I know. We need to jump into this. But But he has no explosiveness or power. And that's because he's training like a guy who's trying to lose weight. And he's not training like an NFL, like a player who's in the NFL. So I'm largely dismissing Eddie Lacy. Thomas Rawls, I think, is the favorite right now to be the Seahawks feature back. However, he's already injured. And then CJ Procise, who actually is over 220 pounds and should be given consideration for the Seahawks feature back role, they're not giving him consideration for the Seahawks feature back role. And Chris Carson has outplayed all of them this preseason. And Chris Carson got reps with the Russell Wilson group in the second preseason game. That, to me, you know, when you see a rookie running back, especially a seventh round rookie running back out there in position to, if he doesn't pick up the right blitz, he could get his quarterback hurt, you know, and the coaches know that. However, the coaches had enough confidence in Chris Carson to put him out there with the Russell Wilson group, and he has been productive every step of the way.
Is Chris Carson somebody you're buying late in drafts, Beers?
He hasn't been. I was actually just going to ask Evan, I mean, is he a guy you're actually drafting, or is he just a guy you've got an eye on and, you know, he's at the top of your list on the waiver wire in your season-long leagues?
Well, I have stopped doing MFL 10s and MFL 25s just since camp really heated up, just because I don't have enough time for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to put my – like, I probably wouldn't be drafting Chris Carson if I was still doing MFL 25s and MFL 10s just because there's so much uncertainty. However, in season-long drafts where you can just drop guys
– yep.
I have gotten two, and I've done like five since the start of camp. I've gotten Chris Carson in two of them. And I mean, I don't, there's like no reason to not grab him in like the 15th round of a season long redraft league, because you can just drop him if he opens the season fourth on the depth chart.
All right. That's fine. I'm going to try and get Chris Carson for a buck tomorrow. I've decided. I feel like that's good. Gonna get all the Kenny Britt for like $4. I feel good. I'm thank God I've been doing these shows, because otherwise I would just be, well, let's face it, clueless. Evan, you're kind of nodding your head on when Beers was talking about Christian McCaffrey, and where you think he's good, but he's just too expensive. Is that kind of how you feel too?
I mean, whenever Beers is talking, I nod my head. So you know, whether it be, you know, we're on the same show or I'm listening to him, you know, on a podcast. I mean, Beers just spits fire and truth.
I like it.
I paid him quite a bit
to say. Well, I understand. I mean, it's anytime he says something nice about me, I get a little Venmo request to send money. So I fully understand how that goes. All right, Beers, let's talk about the Patriots running back situation. Everybody was drafting Mike Gillisley, maybe overdrafting him. I'm guilty of the same thing. I mean, now we're looking at like some Rex Burkhead. There are so many guys in the rotation. How can we possibly figure out who we're supposed to draft?
So I can't figure out. I'm not even going to really trying to figure out like who the guy is going to be. But in terms of who to draft, my strategy all off season and still now is draft the cheapest ones. You know, because at one point Burkhead was the most expensive, and maybe he will be again within the next week. But you know, he fell down to like an 18th round pick. You know, he was a guy I wasn't even sure I wanted to take in the 18th round. Now he's going to, you know, he's going to shoot up the boards. He already has. And, you know, if Gillisley falls that far, I don't think he'll fall that far, but, especially with the season right around the corner, but, you know, just get the ones who are relatively cheaper. I mean, James White has been pretty cheap all off season. Been getting shares of him. You know, I'm just careful to, you know, I spread the exposure around on my teams. You know, I'm not going to put Gillisley and Burkhead or White and Burkhead on the same team, the same best ball team. I just want to have, you know, one little toehold exposure on a bunch of teams across sort of the portfolio. So when one of those guys does return that value, I know I bought him late because I wasn't buying Gillisley, you know, when he was very expensive. I didn't buy Burkhead when he first shot up. You know, I'm going to get a good return on that. And I think that's kind of the approach. And honestly, yeah, I don't know the answer. I'm not sure anybody does. I'm sure Evan has a much better guess than me though at, you know, who's actually going to.
Well, it's Rex Burkhead, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a guess. I'm sorry.
If you guys could have seen our email chain going on before the show, you'd have known that Evan was going to jump on Rex Burkhead.
Yeah.
Hey, Rex Burkhead is a baller, dude. I mean, so, you know, hey, if they try to stick him on special teams, it'd be good. You know, they try to use him in the James White role, he's going to be good. They try to use him as a between-the-tackles runner at the goal line, he's going to be good. So some guys are just really good at football, and that's Rex Burkhead. With that said, the running back that Beers did not mention there was Deion Lewis.
Yeah.
Who has looked as good, if not better, than any of the other Patriots backs this preseason. And is the lowest cost running back on the Patriots 90-man roster right now. So I think Deion Lewis is pretty interesting because very often, you know, in an NFL 10, he will last till round 19 or 20. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on draft, I mean, no one's drafting him on play draft. So Deion Lewis, I think, is very, very intriguing at this point. He's looked very explosive. I mean, we can all remember back to 2015 before he suffered those knee injuries. He was one of the most dynamic players in the NFL, and they would use him in the red zone. And I think he's actually sort of overrated as a pass catcher, but underrated as an interior runner. His quickness and his decisiveness makes him a very, very good downhill runner, and I don't think people even appreciate him for that. He's a very, very good back.
So, Evan, where do we draft these guys? Are we just looking at the cheapest guy? Because I the problem is when they're all playable, none of them are really usable. That's kind of the issue I have.
Well, you draft Burkhead, obviously, whenever you can. And then you draft the cheapest, and that will be Deion Lewis. So I think that Burkhead and Deion Lewis at this point are the best investments. James White does make some sense, but his ceiling is capped. I mean, we know how the Patriots envision him. He's never going to be a feature back. Gillis Lee was overrated from the start. And maybe he will win the Brandon Bolden role, but, Mike Gillis Lee, people don't understand that Mike Gillis Lee played special teams in Buffalo. He was a special teams player. People tag Rex Burkhead as a special teams player because he played special teams in Cincinnati. People don't realize that Mike Gillisley ran down and covered kicks and punts in Buffalo as well. Mike Gillisley probably going to be the new Brandon Bolden, and Rex Burkhead is going to be, this year's David Johnson.
Wow, this is David Johnson. That's no messing around. All right, guys, I told you we were going to have some QQs at the end, so let's go and get a few questions. And if you want to ask Mike Beers, Evan Silver, if you're really desperate, even me a question, like, we can go ahead and we'll be glad to answer them. We've got a few minutes. So here's the first question. Mike, what are your thoughts on Devontae Parker now that he's Jay Cutler's new favorite player in the history of football?
I'm buying into it a little bit. I got to move him up. He wasn't a guy I was targeting at all, to be honest. I mean, I think his price was, eighth round-ish or maybe even higher than that or earlier in the offseason. I was definitely favoring Stills. And the one thing – so I'm going to start targeting Parker around his ADP. I'm not going to reach for him, but I'm definitely going to buy him. And I got to move Landry down, I think. I think he's just not the kind of, the prototype that Cutler really looks for. He's going to throw the ball downfield to guys like Parker and Stills. And he uses the tight end a little bit. I like Julius Thomas a little bit more with Cutler in town, but so I'm buying Parker and then I'm moving Landry down. That's
kind of what I'm doing. Like initially, a lot of people say, oh, it's camp talk, yada, yada, yada. But Evan, we've seen this before with Cutler where he finds a guy that he likes and he just locks onto him. And when he says that Parker and Alshon Jeffrey are similar, I mean, they're pretty much built the exact same way.
Yeah, they are. Devontae Parker has been a guy who I don't think that people understand like how young these dudes are. Devontae Parker entered the NFL and he was eating like McDonald's breakfast and McDonald's lunch, and at night he would go like eat McDonald's dinner.
I was doing the same thing.
I still am.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, but these guys are competing at the highest level of athletics. And they're so young, man. Like they don't know, And so I think in year three, it is sort of clicked for Devontae Parker. And maybe this is my little, my narrative that Devontae Parker saw Kenny Stills, and Devontae Parker practices with Kenny Stills every day, and they essentially play the same position. They're both perimeter receivers on the Dolphins. Devontae Parker saw Kenny Stills get $8 million a year with like a, $20 million signing bonus or whatever, And Devontae Parker is like, my goodness, like, am I going to really pass up that opportunity? I know how much better I am at football than Kenny Stills. And he stopped eating McDonald's breakfast. And we have not heard about a soft tissue injury for Devontae Parker since 2016, you know? So
that long.
It's been a long time. You know, it's been a long time. I mean, Devontae Parker, one of the issues with him was that he was never, you know, in optimal condition.
Yeah.
He'd have some sort of like soft tissue, you know, injury, just like Alshon. He's not as big and thick as Alshon. However, he's a clasher. You know, at Louisville, one of the reasons that Devontae Parker, he played with Bridgewater. And he was one of the receivers that made Bridgewater look better than he was, because he would go out and get the football in traffic. Devontae Parker can play. Look at him from just a straight – look at him on a page of stats. You know, in his first year, he was – you know, he had like a normal rookie wide receiver year. In year two, he had a great second year for an NFL wide receiver. And now he's in his third year. I mean, it's very easy to imagine him taking a really, really big step, especially with all the characteristics of Jay Cutler that Beers touched on.
They want to know in the chat why we are so insistent on downgrading Shady McCoy, because we don't know what the hell the Bills are doing, and their offense may very soon turn into the Jets. How's that? Ooh, that was shots fired, right, Beers?
I mean, it's true though. I mean, there are things you can argue, but it's almost impossible to argue that their offense has gotten better or even not gotten worse, you know, over the past few weeks. And if the entire offense has gotten worse, that itself tells you there are fewer opportunities for Shady to score. You know, that's enough right there.
Evan, how far are you? Are you completely off Shady now? I mean, because I'm all about downgrading him too, but the chat, they're not very happy that we're downgrading Shady.
He actually walked away. He's totally off.
Oh, Evan. All right. Well, that's fine, Evan. That's how Evan feels about
exactly.
I can't blame him, because LeSean McCoy, I'm kind of off with him. I'm done. No, thank you. Let's see. Sorry, that was just a troll question. Real quick, Beers, yes or no, Marshawn Lynch?
No.
I'm with you on no. Evan, what do you think? No. Okay, well, that's good, Evan. I appreciate you. We're going to go ahead and get off here, though. The questions have ran out, and so has Evan, so I guess that means Beers and I are next. So thank you so much for joining us on Draft Live. He's Mike Beers. He's Evan Silva. I'm Eric Crane. We'll catch you guys later. See ya.